Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to the first Miracle Man show of 2020 here. It's the first show not only of a new year, it's the first show of a new decade. And we're so glad we can to have you here tonight, wherever you may be listening to this program from, whatever device you're listening to it on. And I claim that the anointing of God flows right through your phone, right through your laptop, right through your whatever you're listening to this program on. You know, whether you're in your car, at home, at work, you know, wherever you are, let the anointing of God just come in there. And I'm really excited about what God's going to do this year. And I'm going to be discussing what I see God doing, what I see, you know, in America and with the show as well. I don't, not just the show, but like with the body of Christ even. And is this really the last days? Is this really the last days? We'll go to Luke 21 in a little bit, and we're gonna find out what it says about the last days. And I will share with you tonight what I predict for 2020. And also tonight, we're going to have, after all the football and what have you the past weekend, we're going to discuss what all happened. What went down with New England, Tennessee? What went down with Houston? What went down, and we're going to talk about it. I am giving no spoilers, none, because I want you to listen to the whole program. But I want to start out by saying I'm grateful for all of you that have stuck it out, listening to this program, whether you've been listening for a year, for 2 years, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years, or to the start of the program 2.5 years ago when we started. Thank you so much to every one of these listeners. Thank you so much to McDonald's here on South Saginaw for being a gracious host that pretty much all the workers know me by name. They know who I am. And they always make sure that they're nice to me. They've just always been really nice to me. And you, my listeners, you've been awesome. And it's great to see you tuning in. Believe in God that this year is going to be a year of growth. Explosive growth. I'm not going to put limits on God. I'm believing God to at least double or triple the amount of listeners this year. And I'm believing God that in the name of Jesus, we're going to go well beyond that even. I claim that 2020 is going to be a year of plenty. You say, Miracle Man, oh, is that a play on words? Absolutely not. No. If it was, I wouldn't say it. I mean, if that's the only reason why I did it was for a play on words, then I would just let it go. But no. God wants us blessed. I think this year is going to be a year of blessing for those who obey God, for those who do His word, follow His word fully. For those who play around or are living in sin purposely, I'm getting into my message. For you, it's not going to be, for those of you who choose to just play around, it's not going to be the greatest year. That to say, in Jesus' name, it's going to be a year of plenty for you. That's my full, honest belief. That's one of the big things that I'm believing God for this year. Is for God to bless us. Yes, me, but also us. Because I'm not what they call a selfish prayer. Yes, there's things I want for myself, of course. But I'm also cognizant of the fact you got to pray for others too if you believe in God for your own miracle. Which I am. And yes, people are standing with me. People are believing God for me. One lady yesterday at church says every time she sees me at church this year, she's going to put her hand on me and call me healed. But when you believe God for me, I'll believe in God for a miracle. You have to also be believing God for others. At the same time, don't get so caught up in praying for others that you never pray for yourself. So it has to be a balance. One of these days, real soon here, I'm going to teach on prayer. How to get connected, how to get hooked up with God. I'm not saying whether it's going to be in a week, 2 weeks, a month, a couple months. But sometime I am. Now, speaking of prayer, in my local church, I think as Christians, that period, the first of the year, the first month of the year, about, that's a good time to spend some time in fasting and prayer for the year. What do you want from me this year? How do you plan to use me this year, Lord? I submit myself to you. I put down the flesh. Take some time and fast some pleasant bread. Maybe your pleasant bread is playing the Xbox. So it's on the Xbox for a few days. Maybe it's YouTube. How about take 3, 4, 5, 6 days Don't watch it. Maybe it's a certain candy bar. Take a few days and fast them. Or maybe you're eating one a week or one every 2 weeks. Skip a week. Don't eat it. You got to put the flesh under some way, somehow. Whether you give up a lot or you just give up a little. That's better than absolutely nothing. And the idea of the starting out with fasting, it's about fasting pleasant bread. It's not this whole water only or juice only fast. No. You can do that if you want. And if you feel that's what's going to help you the most and get you the closest to God or whatever, go. Do it. But it's also easy to fast some pleasant bread. The church has made one. Neither, obviously, if you go to my church, you don't have to follow it by any means. I'll do what I do. You do what you do. Maybe one day you don't eat any meat. Maybe one day you don't eat any sweets. Maybe one day it's bread that you don't eat. Maybe another day you just eat soup and salad. Good. Take some time before God. Pray. Choose what you're going to fast. Maybe you fast something different every day. Or maybe every week for a couple days in the week or whatever. Please make an effort to put the flesh under. It's just a great way to start out the new year. Not trying to be overbearing or anything like that. You just got to have an arsenal. And anyhow, as I said, I'm here at McDonald's, 1711 South Saginaw Road, across from the Kmart Plaza, where the anchor tenant, Kmart, is now moved out. I actually have some decent memories of Kmart. Back in the 90s, early 2000s, I used to go in there a bit. More of my shopping memories in this town are actually on the other end of town. But they say this is the second oldest business district in town, between here and about Ashton. But it was still sad to see Kmart go. Maybe if Kmart hadn't made the mistakes they made of the past 10, 15 years, it could have been different. Because back in the 1990s, I remember I liked it. I don't know if I liked it as much as I did Myers or when Walmart came, Walmart. Because depending on what I need to get. If it was merchandise, I always prefer Walmart, Target. Off over here, maybe Kmart sometimes. Sometimes. Not as much the last few years, though. Kmart really did some things. They really made some mistakes. They used to, at one point, they were the America's biggest retailer. Headquartered in Troy, Michigan, they had been. Southern Detroit, suburb just north of downtown Detroit. About 20 minutes or so in good traffic. Maybe 15 to 18 minutes or so. I've always liked Troy a lot. But like I was saying, originally, Kmart was originally pure Michigan. Yes, they had locations in a bunch of other states, but they were pure Michigan as far as they are were from Michigan, the state of Michigan. Just like how Meijer is. Like Meijer's case, half the stores are in Michigan. But that to say, we're across the road from the former Kmart store, next to an Admiral. And one on the to the southeast is Admiral Marathon. To the northwest is a Habitat for Humanity Restore. I'm saying that to say you're always free to come in and say hi to the Miracle Man. And praise God. So that's where I'm at. Speaking of McDonald's, I want to encourage you to get the McDonald's app on your phone, register for exclusive deals. At McDonald's, you can get, there's a lot of deals you can get on the app. One good example is 40% off a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese. It says only for you, meaning only for me. Which means for different people, it gives different offers. I think that's how it works. And then, I don't know why one of the coffee ones says only for me when I do not like coffee at all. You say, what's wrong with coffee, Miracle Man? Well, I don't like the taste. That's all it is. Some people just never learn to like coffee. Yeah, I'm a full-fledged adult male, and I still don't like it. As to why I don't like it, I don't know. Maybe someday. But another good deal on there, 40% off McFlurry or Shake. My personal favorite, $1 off a large fry. Because McDonald's fries are America's favorite fries. In my book, yes. And they are really good. And then, of course, with me, next to me, as I usually have, Coca-Cola, America's favorite soft drink. Come to your local McDonald's and grab an any size soft drink for the low price of just a dollar. All day, every day. Come in and get it. McDonald's used to have a billboard that said, when you're up, we are up. Many locations open till midnight or later. You know, many locations are open till about 11 o'clock or so. Others are open 24 hours. Do you remember those billboards, Caitlin, that used to say, when you're up, we're up? Do you remember those? Yep, do you kind of remember those? McDonald's, for McDonald's? They only lasted for like a year, I think, though. That's literally what they said, though, is when you're up, we're up. That's literally what they said. It was kind of cool, actually, because remember one time I was driving back from somewhere, we were going down the highway, coming back to Michigan, actually. No, there's some billboards, and it was like, oh, McDonald's billboard when says when you're up, we're up. Okay, mail locations open at midnight or later. This was way back in like 2004. You know, listeners, it's hard to believe that it's 2020. It's really hard to believe. To think that compared to now, 2004 was actually closer to the 80s than what it was to now, basically. Wow. Where has the time went? Where? Wow. I mean, to the late 80s, at least. Anyhow. I'm going to sing a song for you guys, then we're going to pray, then we're going to open up the Word of God, going to read some verses, then I'm going to give you my, what I predict for this year. Amen. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yeah. Healing is here. And I believe it. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. And I receive it. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you. My rock, my healer, I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Yeah, Jesus is here. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Come on, listeners. Thank him right now. Where you are, wherever you're at, just thank him. Begin to magnify. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hands like you... Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord. We love you tonight. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you tonight for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for this new year that we've started. Thank you, Lord God, that you bless these listeners this year. Thank you that it's going to be a year of plenty, that it's going to be a year of advancement for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you bless every one of these listeners listening to this show, that they receive what you want them to receive out of this message tonight. And I just praise you, Lord, in advance for you working on behalf of these listeners in Jesus' name. I make my confession right now over this program. Increases in listenership are coming to this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners are coming to this program, that finances are coming into this program, and most importantly, I thank you for souls coming into this program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Open it up, if you will, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Woo! Amen. Amen, listeners, I hope you shouted when I said that. I hope you did. My hope is that in 2020, that can be the year that the Christians get their roar back, that shout back, that zeal for God. It'll be the roaring 20s, only for Jesus. And they'll be like the lion of the tribe of Judah. None of this. It won't be any more of this. Won't be any more of this whimpering stuff. Like what's kind of that quiet shout, you know. No. No, it'll be a shout that'll scare the devil right into tomorrow. Now, oftentimes when I'm reading, I like to start with verse 1 a lot of times, but tonight I want to get right to verse 5 because I want to cut straight to the lesson. No, let's start with verse 1 because this widow's offering is really cool. verse 1 of chapter 21, Luke and IV. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple's treasury. Now, in today's age, we would say they were sowing their seeds, giving their gifts, their money, into the offering. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. She put these in the offering. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people they sowed their seed out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Verse 5. So the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and of gifts dedicated unto God. But Jesus said, as for what you hear, see, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. One of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when all these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am he. In other words, they would say, I'm Jesus. And that time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. That's true. We've had wars all the time. And what I mean by that is, we had a war 150 years ago, the Civil War. Jesus didn't come then. Before that, even we had the Revolutionary War. It didn't come then. Our country's been in a lot of wars since then. He didn't come then either. Verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We got a lot of that going on. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. We got that going on. And fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and they will persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you I will give you words and wisdom, it says. I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or to contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers. Relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Its dissolution is near. Let those who are in Judea free and flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners by all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming in the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud from heaven with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer's near. I wish that was true right now. I wish. But it's only tree wish. Nonetheless, gonna read it again. Gonna read verse 3 again, this time with no distraction. Verse 29, for that matter. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the other trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Yes, it is. You know, we're getting so close. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away. I threw in the ever. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with deception, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly, like a trap. Will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, so that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening, he went out to spend the night on the hill camped on the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. All right. All right. Before we get into this whole, I predict last days and that, let me describe to you the first four verses. So, at the temple, Jesus is there, the offering is being taken. So people are coming up to the treasury, putting in their gifts to the Lord, giving their tithes, offerings, their pledges. I don't know for sure. Maybe they were in the middle of a building program, maybe they weren't. I don't know. But we'll just say an offering is being taken. So they're taking the offerings. People are coming up, giving their offerings before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Like, that's what they're thinking, I'm sure. But this lady comes up. She puts in two tiny coins. You want to know something? That was all she had. She gave 100%. 100%. Everything she had to live on. Everything she had to give her kids or herself. Milk, food, clothes, supplies, whatever. It was not electricity back then. But to cover all her expenses, she put that in the offering. God blessed her. What I mean is, God looks at that. God looks on the heart. She gave out of everything she had. These other people gave from their wealth. The question about this could be, God doesn't expect you to put in your whole paycheck every month, every time you get paid. No. He wants the first fruits. You should put some stuff in offerings and stuff. But what I will say is that he wants your heart. You see, that lady was desperate. She put in out of what she had. Everything. But this does not mean that God likes you less if you're rich, or more if you're poor. Or more if you're rich, or less if you're poor. It's not what that means. He looks on the heart. So you're going to serve God when it's convenient, or you're going to serve God, period. That's the question. Now, last days. Oh yeah, we're in the last days. Earthquake, there was just one in Puerto Rico this morning. 5.4 magnitude. Nobody died, but there was some damage. this whole Iran deal. It is some wild stuff. But this shows we get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the last days. I mean, closer to the rapture all the time. As evil increases. You know, there last night there was a question and answer session at my church. One of the questions that came into Dr. Barclay was, has every country in the world been reached? Dr. Barclay answered the question and said, yes, every country in the world has been reached. Not every human. One of the signs that the end can be near is when every country has been reached. You say, Miracle Man, you have the answer to what day or what hour, Jesus is going to come? No, I don't. And here's why. Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour that I will come. The rapture will happen. He knows. He won't tell us. He didn't say, let me think here. On October 29th of 2020, at approximately 10:45 p.m., the trumpet's going to blow, and I want you all to be ready. He will not tell us that. Otherwise, we'd all be ready. We'd all be on the 27th, 28th, the week before that in October. We'd all be so busy repenting, you know, going to everybody we knew, repenting of everything, asking for forgiveness, all that, to make the rapture. I can just imagine some of these cell towers being totally maxed out. Because of everybody calling everybody, texting everybody, trying to repent of everything. So they could make heaven. No, he did not tell us when we were coming. That's why we got to watch and be ready. This doesn't just mean you don't live a life and all you do is look up and wait. No. I live with this mindset that he can come at any time. That's why you need to make sure you're living right. That's why you need to make sure that you know for sure that when that you will make the rapture and you will make heaven. You do not want to be here after the rapture, folks. You do not want to be here. It's going to be so uncomfortable. The amount of persecution will be so intense. You don't want to be here. The last days, the Bible says, will be like the days of Noah, or like the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, people were eating and drinking. Yeah, you know, they were feasting. Drinking doesn't mean just alcohol. That means like they were living their life, having a good time. Maybe the drinking there could mean they were just at a ball game, watching the Tigers, or the Lions, or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. But nothing wrong with sports as long as it's not your idol. But they were eating, buying, selling, planting, building. Just like everything was normal and would continue on forever. But then the trumpet blew. I mean, the end came. That's what happened in Lot. Because everybody was just going about their days, you know. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they were. And then Sodom got destroyed. People were, they were just in their normal day of pleasure. Eating breakfast, men were eating breakfast with their wives, started to go about in the streets, going to downtown. Northern modern towns, we could say, they were going downtown to take a walk or to take a walk at the park, or whatever else. They started to go into the shops, maybe to get the Miracle Man a donut. I don't know. I hope. But what I mean is they were just going about the day, and then Sodom destroyed instantly. All these people died. You know, wherever they were at, judgment happened. And so, with events that have taken place recently, it's another part of the sign that we are very close to the end of the age, to the end of time. I mean, to the trumpet blowing. To the end of time. No, there will be. What will happen is there will be seven. After the trumpet blows, 7 years of tribulation. Then you'll have 1,000-year reign. Obviously, in between that, you'll have Jesus will set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. The devil will be thrown into hellfire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, along with the unbelievers. And for the and then we'll have the 1,000-year reign. There'll be new heaven and new earth and all that kind of stuff. We don't know what'll happen after all that. But this isn't supposed to be an eschatology. I'm supposed to tell you what I see for this year. I'm going to get to this right now. Number one, Pastor talked about, you know, what he saw for 2020. I am not copying Pastor necessarily. I might have seen some of the same things he has, but certainly not all of them. This isn't exactly exhaustive by any means. Number one, The first thing, let's see, for 2020 is 2020 will be a year of plenty. It'll be a year of plenty for those who seek him, or live for him, do what he says, those that are in the word, those that are at the altars. It'll be a great year. It'll be a year of plenty for them. Plenty of business. Plenty of finances, plenty of opportunities. It'll be a year of plenty. Amen. I receive that. Two. Another thing I see is we will see in America that the church will be greatly negatively impacted if the church does not stand up and vote in this election. You're going to hear this a lot from me this year. Don't just click a red button or a blue button, you know, Republican or Democrat, or the independent button at the voting booth. Research the candidates first. Vote for the ones that are the least anti-Bible, the most pro-Bible, the most pro-Constitution, the most pro-God. Not based on what's good for your wallet, not based on what's good for your paycheck, your wallet, your whatever else. No. You gotta vote Bible. Amen. That's why it's really important that we stand up and vote. Third thing I see. Many people will fall away. They will just be sucked in by life. The desire for pleasure, the desires for riches. For many people, they'll just fall away from God. Others will be drawn to God. Number four. We will see the beginning of the final outpourings take place this year. If not this year, soon after. Because in my mind, it's 2020 and beyond. But that's number four. Like I said, number four, you'll see the beginning of outpouring. Final outpouring. Number five. For those who seek God, it'll be a year of great and miraculous manifestations, healings, deliverances, financial breakthroughs. As people seek God and clean out their clutter from their life. Number six, I predict that the altars of God will be full and very powerful. Number seven, you will see preachers falling away. You will see other preachers repenting of their old ways and turning back to God. Number eight, there will be much persecution. I mean, there will be persecution against the church, but it will come to naught. And God will win. Number nine, let me think here. What was it? Those are the eight things I see, like for America and the kingdom of God. But unless there's a couple more, I'm trying to think here. So, Mark T. Barclay does a great I Predict. You'll be able to download it from marktbarclay.com. By all means, go on there, take a look at it, see what he's got to say. Like I said, I did not copycat his list. These were the things I gave you tonight were things that I saw. And what I have to say is, these things that are negative, we can pray for these to be some of these to be stopped. If we wake up, some of them can be stopped. If we vote well this year, we can keep America from becoming a socialist communist nation. This election this year is going to be extremely important. It will shape America for a very long time. That's why it's so important that we vote biblical. But while you pray, you know, and research, don't let the news become your God, please. Some of them are fake. Your president said that very well. Obviously, if you're in America. I know, I'm sorry. Usually I'm not political on this program at all. I am sharing my heart with you. But obviously, there's some good. You know, just pay attention who you're listening to. Polls go up, polls go down. What matters is whether or not you show up to vote. If the Christians show up and vote, and they vote biblically, and remove these wicked people out of office, oh, we're going to get some stuff done. Yes. And this is where the thing can come from. Elections have consequences. They do. And by the way, I might sit out the primaries in November, I'll vote. No. Vote in the primaries now. Make your voice heard. You say, what's going to happen with this whole impeachment thing? I don't know. Who knows the way this is going? But my prayer is that wisdom is used, that every one of these judges and everything, that every one of them is given wisdom, that they all use wisdom in this case as they deal with this whole thing. About the show, this year will be a year of growth. I believe it. And I believe we'll see some miracles taking place as a result of the show. I believe we're going to see people calling in this year giving testimonies of things that happened in their life. Ultimately, only might not be because of me. It'll be because of God. Because we're believing God. I'm believing God to change the world through faith and radio. By my talking about faith, the building faith, using the means of radio to do it. And so we plan to just keep this thing going and blowing for God. Hallelujah. You know, that's just one of the things I see for the show. I think it's going to be a year of, you know, I'm believing God for doors to open this year. Amen. Now, another thing. This year was, I forget where it says in the Bible, but has some certain biblical meaning. I'm not sure what it is. Now, I know there's all this stuff going online. You might have seen the stuff about hashtag 2020 vision and all that, or can you see 2020 or whatever else. But to be honest with you, there's a biblical reason for why it's something strategically biblical that has to do with 2020. I forget what it is. But I hope I'll be able to tell you that tomorrow night. Also, my prayer is that you did what I talked about on the last show before the new year. Pray that, I hope that you wrote down the list of stuff you were leaving behind last year. And I hope you made a list of things you want for your life this year. And by the way, it's not too late to get a piece of paper and start writing. I'm still thinking about some things myself that I'd like to happen, that I'm going to write down and add to that list. Amen. But Lord Jesus, I thank you for these listeners. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on them. I just thank you, Lord God, for this year and everything you have planned for it. I just know that it's going to be, I pray that things are going to happen for your people this year. And I just pray that things would go well for us this year as we seek your face and humble ourselves. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Sports. In terms of football, on Wednesday, you had Michigan taking on Alabama. Michigan was up on Alabama by a couple points at halftime. Only this. Third quarter came, fourth quarter came. What do you know? Michigan was up by a couple points, and then what do you know? They go down and they lose 38-16. A lot of these, both of the last two losses, they played decent the first half, or at least most of the first half. And then in the second half, they seem to down. Their other two losses this year, they started out poorly. And then second half, they kind of, doing good stuff. Next for Michigan, they'll have to go without the services of Shea Patterson, as his eligibility is up. We don't know yet who that new quarterback will be. October looks to be particularly tough on Michigan next year, late September, early October. Other than, of course, that last Saturday, November, when we play you-know-who. But I don't think it's time to fire Harbaugh yet. We need to find a way to win some of these big road games. We have to. We don't have a choice. Michigan has to find a way to get a win in Seattle, in Columbus, in... Well, luckily, a lot of their big games, what I mean by that is, I mean, against Penn State and against Wisconsin are both at home. They got to play Minnesota, though, in Minneapolis. And after Minnesota this year, we all know how great they did. That game will be a challenge for us. Got to find a way to win these big road games. We have to. At home, we've been fine. It's just that we can't beat these pesky that pesky team to the south. Miracle Man, I thought you liked the team to the south. Yes, I do. It's just, can we please beat them? Once in a while. Ooh. 8 years of frustration. Gotta end somewhere. Powerball's gotta find a way. All right, NFL. Cowboys, nope. I'll end with that. Top football story, Saturday, the Patriots fell to the Tennessee Titans, 20-13. In New England, I will add. Another stat. Two games in a row, both last week and the week before when they played against the Dolphins in the regular season finale. Two games in a row, Tom Brady threw a pick six. That's the first time he did that, two games in a row in his career. 43 years old now. So the talk continues. Tom Brady, you see, is now an unrestricted free agency. unrestricted free agent. That means he can go wherever he wants to go. He has said that he does not plan to retire yet. However, he did say that he doesn't quite know where he's going to go, whether he's going to stay in New England or not. He's going to weigh out his options, is a good way to put it. He's going to weigh out his options. But he will like I said, he's going to weigh his options, and therefore we don't know where he's going to be next year. My prediction is that he will come back to play football, yes. The question is where. Next up, on Saturday, in the first game, you had the Texans come back from a 16-point deficit to win 23-16 in overtime, by the way. The Bills are still looking for their first playoff game win since 1995. You lose 4 Super Bowls in a row. Next year you win a playoff game, and then after that you can't win a playoff game for 26 years. I mean, 24 years. And all right, isn't that crazy? You lose 4 Super Bowls in a row, and then the next year you win a playoff game, but then after that you can't win a playoff game for 24 years. Isn't that crazy? That's incredible, isn't it? How do you do that? One will never know how that happened. That happened to the Bills. Only for the Lions, it's been even longer, but 28 years since they won a playoff game, 1991. AFC, Houston has to go to Kansas City. The Titans, they get to go to Baltimore. Let's go to the NFC. Well, in the day cap, 1 o'clock game, you had the St. Peter and Paul, the Saints. They fell to the Vikings in overtime. And to me, this one was also kind of a surprise that the Vikings actually found a way to beat the Saints in that environment. They're in New Orleans where it's so loud, obnoxious, and but they lost to the Vikes. In overtime, by the way, like I said, in the other game, Eagles lose to the Seahawks 17-9. I kind of figured this was going to happen, even though it was in Philly. I really did, because the Seahawks, they did a really good job this year. Now, the Cowboys, they hired this brand new coach. I forget what his name is, but he won the Super Bowl. He guided the Packers to the Super Bowl 45 victory. People are claiming that he could be the Cowboys version of a Bill Belichick or a Matt Reed or whatever, Paul Reed or whatever that former Eagles coach was. And that he could be what the Cowboys need now. Because the Cowboys could really be something special. I want them to be something special because, let's face it, they're America's team. In fact, I have a story to tell you about the Tiger Stadium. I mean, the Cowboy Stadium that was in use in Irving, Texas from the 70s to 2008. What fun a time, a long time ago. Stadium was built in Irving, Texas. It would serve as the home of the Dallas Cowboys. The stadium seats were all enclosed. The roof was outside. Apparently, owners said that they wanted the weather to be a factor in the game. I can see where that would ring a bell with a lot of coaches. There's a joke going around, too, though, that the reason that they did that, why there was a hole in the roof, was so that God could watch his favorite team play football. Yeah. That's what the belief was, so that God could watch his favorite team play football. Well, all the Super Bowls that they won were when they had that stadium. They haven't won any in the new stadium. Maybe they need to, in the off season, at AT&T Stadium over in Arlington, how do you put a permanent hole in the roof of a stadium that's already in use? For the field, how do you do that? Maybe somehow there can be a way. Maybe that could be their charm to help them get back to the Super Bowl and win it. Because I want to see the Cowboys come back and get back to the Super Bowl again. In my mind, they are America's team. And they have a nice, loud stadium. You know, and you want to know what else, Caitlin? I would love to see an all-Texas Super Bowl. I would love to see that. Yes. Especially if it got to be played in the state of Texas, that would be a lot of fun. Because I've always said that Texas was always one of my favorite places. Listeners, I really have, at least for like the last 8 to 10 years. It's a place. Well, there's a lot of diversity, a lot of different kinds of people and everything else. But they're not afraid to endorse the American, good American values and stuff. And they, a lot of people with good hearts there. And I've just always really liked it. It's a place where land is very expansive. Example, Houston, Texas, from one extreme end to the other. From what I understand, I think it's 40 miles that you can travel and somehow still be in the city of Houston. I'll have to look at that. Is there a way to figure that out? Like the furthest you can go in the city of Houston and still be in it? There has to be. I think it's like 40 miles. Okay, but I know from one extreme part of Houston I looked at to the Nassau, which is at the other extreme point of Houston, it was like 40, 45 miles. But in it, I think you leave the city of Houston for a few miles, sadly. I've always said that if I was from Houston, I'd want to somehow get to every McDonald's there. Not necessarily directional, starting with the northeast, working their way to the southwest, or northwest to southeast or whatever, but just somehow getting to every one of them and not going to another one, to the same one again until I had been to all of them. And that would even be to get water, even if I was thirsty. That'd be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? Do you think anyone in Houston has been to every McDonald's? Because there's like 130 of them in the city. Yes. That includes airport, mall, hospital, Walmart, everything.
In the whole state or the city?
The city of Houston, Texas. Do you think anyone has been to all of them? Do you think I'd possibly set the record?
It's a possibility. If there is, probably not a bunch of them.
What?
I said, I mean, it's a possibility. You never say never, but if there is someone that did it, I want to say it's a maybe a handful of people who did it.
Other than, and even a city that size, you don't think even an inspector has been to all of them? But they probably have different health department inspectors, though. That's the other thing, though.
Yeah.
So you imagine there's probably only a couple of them that have been to all of them? Maybe the fire marshal or something?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, that actually purchased or just got water from even all of them. You kind of doubt it, huh?
I doubt it.
Well, at least, like, you went in the parking lot or been in the building. I would love to have a shirt that said that, actually, because I feel like it might be the city with the most that's not L.A. or New York.
The shirt that said what?
The one that said I've been to every single Houston McDonald's. Because in New York and L.A., on the certain sign or whatever, on the address, it doesn't say New York, New York, or Los Angeles. In certain areas, it says Brooklyn or Queens, which to me can kind of throw people off. You know what I mean? So that means, in my mind, Houston is the one with the most where it actually says Houston. Not to mention, both of the biggest malls in the area of Houston, they're actually in the city. And many places in America that are not southern, the biggest malls are in the suburbs. Luckily, in Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, and some other places, mainly in the south, this isn't the case. Thank God. Because it helps the city have an identity. You know, in my mind, when you've got these big malls and these big stadiums and everything else, all within the city. Sadly, the Cowboys Stadium is not in Houston, it's in Arlington. But in Houston, they're all inside the city. Minute Maid Park downtown. The arena where the Rockets play downtown. The home of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo down in South Houston, and Reliance NRG Stadium. That place was rocking, by the way, Saturday. And the guy in Houston, he was actually the guy that made me think about being a broadcaster, or a stadium announcer, the way he calls out the Texans' touchdowns. He says, "Touchdown, Texans!" And then a big pyro goes off. When I first heard him at a Lions game, he wasn't super boisterous. Over time, I feel like he's become more boisterous, though, because I can still hear him, like, if I'm watching one of the games or something. And when Midland scores and I'm at the game, I actually say, "Touchdown, Kemick!" I actually borrowed it from the guy in Houston who does it. So, listeners, that would be a dream of mine to get to meet that guy. All right, folks. Until next time. God first, God always. So long, everybody.